The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And today, it's some straight theater, or rather theater adapted from a very famous and popular novella called The Little Prince. The adaptation is being put on by Parkland College Theater in Champaign, and we have the actor playing the title character with us in the studio today, as well as the director, Jennifer Garan, and at least one other actor. And we'll hear a scene or two from that show and a little bit about the adaptation. It's Live and Local. Hope you'll stay with us here on FM 90.9. We just heard a couple of excerpts performed by guitarist Ry Cooder of his own score to the film Paris, Texas, which is really quite a haunting movie. And I sort of chose that music because the music is a bit surreal and the movie is a bit surreal. And the story for the play that we're about to talk about is, at least in reading the description of it, since I have actually never read the novella, believe it or not, The Little Prince seems a bit surreal to me as well. And The Little Prince is being put on by Parkland College Theater in an adaptation, obviously, for the stage. The director is Jennifer Garan, and we have the two main characters with us, including the title character, The Little Prince, who is played by Trinity Carpenter, and the role of the aviator, who is really essentially the role of the novelist himself, is Eric Schacht. And thanks very much for coming in on the show.
Thank you.
Trinity, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
You are 10, and you are a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing a boy.
Yes.
Does that bother you at all?
No, because the play that I've done before this, I played a boy, actually, before that. I played the role of Tiny Tim in A Christmas Carol.
Also at Parkland Theater?
Mm-hmm.
I think I may have seen you in that, possibly. And you did a very nice job. So are you a little worried that you might get typecast as a boy? Do you know what I mean by that?
No.
No. Well, in acting, that means that people tend to put you in the role of a similar character over and over and over again. So if one says you're typecast, that means that people tend to cast you, in this case, as a boy. So for your next role, they'd cast you as a boy, and then they'd cast you as a boy, and then they'd cast you as a boy. Of course, someday you'll grow up, and then they'll cast you as a man. But, so anyway, that's what I meant. Are you at all worried that that might happen to you?
Not very much.
That's good. That's
she wears good. Way too Probably much pink won't. For that, I think.
Well, she's not wearing pink right now, but she's wearing lots of stripes, however. So striped leggings and a striped shirt. So, Trinity, why don't you tell me about your character, the Little Prince?
He's a very playful character who is very worried about his rose. And also
about his what?
Rose.
R-O-S-E, like the flower?
Yeah.
And what does he do with his rose?
Basically, just one day, he found her and he loves her very much, so he cares about her a lot.
So is this rose as in an actual flower or rose as in a person named Rose?
It is actually a flower. And basically, in the play, we have her, the rose, and the little prince very much cares about her and wants to protect her from everything he can. And then one day, all of a sudden, he just leaves her because he can't really deal with her anymore because he doesn't want, she doesn't want him to protect her, but she also wants him to be only thinking about her, not thinking about his work and trying to protect her from all the other things on his planet.
And so when do you run into Mr. Shock's character here of The Aviator?
Well, I've been going through all these planets, and then later I just appear on Earth, and I keep on walking along, and I just find him and start asking him to draw me a sheep.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Why a sheep?
So that he can eat the baobabs on my planet.
He can eat the what?
Baobabs.
Baobabs. Are those bad things?
Yeah, they're like very big trees the size of castles.
And so if he draws a sheep, then that'll take care of the baobabs?
Yeah, they'll just be gone.
And does he manage to draw the sheep?
Yes.
And, not really.
But
not really, but like a kind of sheep.
She's very picky.
Yes.
She didn't like my first sheep, and she didn't like my second sheep. So I had to come up with another plan.
Yes.
Now, you say she.
I did.
Do you mean Trinity the girl, or
now, I wasn't having problems
prince,
with this until we
character.
Came in.
I know. Because I'm a girl, and then my character is a boy, so sometimes they say she, sometimes they say he.
In the play?
We never say she in the play.
Not in the play, but
until
like
starting today.
After when like they're talking about my character, they say hey, sometimes she and sometimes he. So.
And do you straighten them out with regularity?
Yes.
You make sure that they know who you are in the
yes.
role? Yeah, okay, that's good. So what happens to the baobabs? Or shouldn't we know yet? Does that give things away in the story?
Basically, they're just on my planet, and I just have to keep pulling them and getting rid of them before they start, like, getting and hurting my flower. So that's why I've got her there, and she wants me to stay away from protecting her. She wants me to basically just stay focused on her the whole time.
Do you think this role is harder or not as hard as playing Tiny Tim in The Christmas Carol?
It's very challenging. I think it's even harder than Tiny Tim.
And why do you think so?
Because there's more lines and there's more things you have to remember in it. And basically, I'm in every scene, so you have to remember all the different places you've got to be, all the different things you have to say, and all the things you have to do. So I think it's much more harder than Tiny Tim.
And are we going to hear a scene from the play from you in a little bit?
Yes, we're going to do three different scenes.
Oh, good. Okay, so we'll hear some samples of your memorization work. So far, I have ignored, not really intentionally, the director of the show, Jennifer Garan, who is with us. Jennifer, I presume you, unlike myself, have read this story probably many times, I'm going to guess.
Oh, yes. The way I got introduced to this story was way back in 1974 when a friend of mine in college gave me this little novella and said, I just think you would love this book. And I did, and it's been on my shelf all these years. And when we were thinking about doing another children's show for Parkland, I put it on my short list, and it was immediately recognized by somebody else my age. And said, that is a fine book. What's been interesting, it used to be on the book lists for reading for schools. I don't think it is anymore, but it's amazing to me how many people aren't aware of it because it is a classic. It's a children's classic.
Yeah, it's one of those I've heard of, you know, forever it seems, but just never got around to
sure.
reading. I don't know why. I'm probably going to have to
And now, since you're totally confused, I was thinking, boy, this really sounds weird if you don't know the story.
Well, I'm actually, you know, I'm reading the story, as I often do, courtesy of Wikipedia, and I'm confused by that, too. I mean,
yes.
It's kind of a surreal...
Well, you will have to come see it.
it's kind of a surreal sort of thing. This is not your adaptation of the play, I mean, of the book. Right, this is somebody else's adaptation.
Right, this is adaptation by Rick Cummins and John Sklar. But
is this at all a recent adaptation, or has this been done a lot of times? Do you know?
Well, I don't know how many times it's been done, but I think the adaptation was in the early 1990s.
Oh, well then, yeah.
And the thing that's unusual about what we're doing at Parkland right now is we're incorporating animation design and projections. They have a new projector. That was fairly expensive, and the whole psych in the back is going to be full of planet images, and it's just technically very, very nicely done. So it's a visual feast when you watch this show.
So the term psych, which was something I had to learn a long time ago, and I still don't know how to spell it.
C-Y-C.
C-Y-C.
I sure hope I'm spelling it right.
Well, yeah, people are going to be looking that up right now.
You know, the great big white screen thing that you see in the back, it's usually made out of material. And
the back of a stage.
The back of a stage, and usually the lights are projected onto it to give the sense of day or night, or, you know, or lighting the scene in some way to provide some kind of a mood that you want to the scene to be in. That's what that is. And so instead of just having lights, it's going to have projections, video projections and still projections from this new projector. So when she travels from planet to planet, you're actually going to see video that we're calling our traveling between planets.
Yeah.
That's what we call it.
Besides the addition of the visual images of that sort, is it pretty much a faithful adaptation of the novella?
Pretty much. You know, the novella has some characters in it and some details that this play eliminated, probably because it was hard to produce on the stage. You know, they're never quite exactly the same. But yeah, I mean, this definitely is the story of the Little Prince.
Well, so, I mean, you know, because sometimes they take considerable liberties with these things.
No, it wouldn't be considerable liberties with this. This is pretty true to the book. But there are some things that have been eliminated, so.
Well, why don't we have the first of our three scenes? Trinity or Eric, either one of you want to set this first one up for us? Do you know which is going to be first?
Okay.
The first one that we're doing is one where the second time the little prince comes, and after he got his sheep, and he's just now finding out what an airplane is.
By comes, she means comes to the site of my plane crash.
Yeah.
From
the Sahara Desert.
Elsewhere in the Sahara. Or you've come back from other planets.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, when she leaves, like, me, we're not quite sure where she goes.
I just wander off somewhere in the desert.
The reason that she's traveling is that the relationship between her and this rose, she was previously alone on this planet, and this rose from out of nowhere appears on the planet, a beautiful thing, and she's developing her first really deep and meaningful relationship, and it's confusing her. So she's gone off to travel to find out how it is that she can take care of this rose and understand what it means to have a relationship that has responsibility with it and that type of thing. So that's kind of the storyline of why she's going from place to place, and then she ends up on Earth.
So if you keep referring to her as she, why don't you just change it to the little princess? I mean, really.
I know, you're absolutely right.
Who says it has to be a prince? Just because the book says.
Yeah, well, that is, though. If we said the little princess, are you kidding? The way that princesses are famous today over for all kinds of things, forget that.
Yeah, okay,
and we're sorry we keep saying she because she's sitting here and she's she.
You're going to confuse her in her role.
Oh, no. She never gets confused. She's amazing.
I think she's the one who's not confused. All right,
okay.
So.
Here he goes.
Let's hear it. Trinity Carpenter as the little prince. Do you have a name, by the way, other than the little prince? Or is that your name?
That's my only
That's
name.
That's your name. And then the aviator, who also doesn't have another name.
Right. I mean, neither one of us refers to the other person at all by name during
the performance. Yeah, we don't really say our own name.
You
like,
just talk
mostly in the performance, I don't say his name, and he just calls me a little man or something like that.
Yeah. All right. Eric Schacht with Trinity Carpenter from the Parkland College Theater production of The Little Prince, which opens on Thursday.
Opens Wednesday.
Today's the 5th already. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, tomorrow's the 6th. Yeah, all right. Running through the 17th here on Live and Local.
What is this object?
That is not an object. That's an airplane. That's my friend.
Hello?
Oh, it doesn't talk. It's true, I talk to it occasionally, but it doesn't answer back.
That doesn't seem very satisfactory.
It's an airplane. It flies.
You dropped down from the sky?
Yeah. What is so funny? His laughter irritated me. I'd like my misfortune taken seriously.
You too come from the sky. Which is your planet?
What?
Though it is true, on that airplane, you couldn't have come very far.
You come from another planet.
Listen to that sunset. Do you hear the music?
Music? What music?
It's wonderful that the sunset lasts such a long time here. Where I come from, the sunsets are much shorter, but there are many more of them.
Listen, it's clear I'm not going to get a straight answer out of you. I'm going back to work on my plane.
One day I watched the sunset 44 times.
44 times?
Come with me.
Enough of this. I've got busy things to...
Come. You see, where I come from, it is so small that all you need to do is move your chair a few steps and you can see the day end and the twilight fall as many times as you like. But here, on your planet, you can walk and walk and still be in the same magnificent sunset. One loves the sunset when one is so sad.
Actually, that seems like a good stopping moment because this book is filled with little bits of wisdom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons it's become not only popular as a story, but it's been adapted in different ways. Planets have been named after, I guess, the prince and so on. And the author, and we looked up the pronunciation of this before I came in because I was never really quite sure. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, he was an aviator himself.
Yes.
French aviator from... What, early
yes.
part of the 20th century.
And I was able to get my hands on an autobiography by his wife of 11 years, and she is actually the rose. And this story, if you read her story and you read his history, is amazing. In fact, in some ways it took some of the magic out of it for me, but he really is working through a lot of his own issues in this children's story, because he had a very tumultuous and passionate relationship with his wife, who is the rose on this planet, and he goes off to try to understand her. So.
And Trinity, did you know this before now?
All I heard was that she read that she's reading a book like that. That's all I heard of that.
We protect her.
Probably just as well.
It is just as well.
Put that somewhere else and just concentrate on your role, and it'll probably be fine. Eric, anything you have to draw on from your own experience for this particular role? I'm guessing you're not an aviator.
Not an aviator, no. But it's really, I think a lot of people... it's well-suited for a middle-aged man who's looking back on his life and trying to think of, you know, who he is and who he wants to be and maybe who he would have wanted to be when he was a child. And so I think that's how, I mean, and I have little kids and I wonder, you know, I notice how inhibited I am versus how uninhibited they are. And that is part of this, of me, the aviator, learning from the prince how to laugh, how to cry, how to feel. When he had reached a point in his life when he wasn't capable of doing that. And so there are lessons for me that I've already learned and lessons for me that I want to learn better that I'm getting out of this.
Have you acted often?
Not in a while.
Meaning?
I'm coming out of a 30-year retirement for this.
And what do you do professionally?
I'm an attorney.
You're an attorney. Is Dick your dad?
Yes, he is.
He's a philosopher, or at least a philosophy professor. Have you discussed this rather philosophical-sounding children's novella with him?
I think after he sees the show Friday night, he's coming to the talkback version, but I think he's got to promise me that he's not going to ask any questions until we're in the privacy of our own space. So I think we've kind of kept Nietzsche out of it so far, and we're kind of gonna we'll talk it all through once the 17th comes and goes.
So you didn't want him mucking up the whole story, in other words.
No, not at all. But he's got in addition to being a philosopher, he's done a lot more. He's done a lot of stage work locally, right. And he's been in a lot of operas and musicals. And so I've gotten a lot of tips from him.
Okay, of the acting variety.
Of the acting variety and just of things to expect in the process, and even from like circle binding my script, I think, was actually. So thanks for that, Dad. That was like the biggest thing you did for me. And
thanks for staying out of the way of the thought process.
Right.
Right. Before we do have another scene, I have to do a bit of official business here and say that programs on WYLL, specifically Live and Local Today, are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, welcoming 7-time Grammy nominee classical pianist Leif Ove Andsnes tonight, Tuesday, April 5th at 7:30 p.m. More information is at krannertcenter.com. What is our next short scene from The Little Prince?
Understandably.
Yeah, well, so this is one where we've just we're nearing the end of the first act, and I've kind of seen a tour of his travels and his planet, and most recently now we've met the snake who actually entered into my world from his story, and it completely freaked me out, and so I'm back to work, and so I come back to my plane just like really panicked of having to get out of the situation and being worried about surviving and not wanting to have anything to do with this little person that keeps getting in my way of making my repairs.
So when you say you've been on the tour of his journey, you haven't actually gone with him anywhere.
Well,
I'm
seeing it. So it's how it's being shown to me is up to the person watching, but she's telling me a story that I'm able to see.
Oh, great.
Thus okay. The projections and the travel.
And this is where I'm also rediscovering my long-lost passion of becoming an artist. He has presented me with a sketch pad to draw the sheep, and I'm now using that sketch pad to kind of memorialize this journey that I'm going on. So at the same time as I'm learning things, I'm also discovering, wow, when I was 6 years old, this is what I thought I'd do, and now I'm doing it again. So
this doesn't sound like a children's book.
It's one of those, any good children's book is for the child in all of us, right? I mean, it's one of those, it's like the Velveteen Rabbit. It's like you read it, and it means as much to you as an adult as it does when you're reading it to the child, and it's mesmerizing the child as well. I mean, it's got many levels and it's very thought-provoking.
I've never read The Velveteen Rabbit either.
Man,
isn't that horrible?
Where were you when you...
Well, I've read all the Harry Potter books.
Okay.
And they don't have this kind
adult.
Of philosophy in them as an adult. All right, so okay, let's hear this scene with Trinity Carpenter and Eric Schacht from The Little Prince.
Understandably, I was upset. Not only were my food and water nearly gone, but now I was having some serious hallucinations. I worked frantically through the night and the next day, determined to make my plane work. I was at my wit's end when, at sunset, of course.
Please, I have to know. You have to tell me. If sheep eat little bushes, do they eat flowers too? Please, will it eat my flower?
Yes, sheep will eat anything.
Even flowers that have thorns?
Even flowers that have thorns.
Then why do they have
them? Tangiers,
what
come in.
Good are they?
Cairo.
They don't protect
Morocco.
Them.
Anybody!
Why?
Flowers have thorns just for spite.
I don't believe you. Flowers are naive creatures. They would never act out of spite. They hurt you just because they don't understand. And you actually believe
no,
that the flowers...
No, no, no. I don't believe anything. I just said the first thing that came into my head. Now, can't you see? I have important things to do here.
Important things. You talk just like the grown-ups.
The grown-ups? I am not.
You mix everything up together. You confuse everything. I don't believe you could ever be an artist.
An artist? You think being an artist is going to get me out of here? This is a matter of life and death. Don't you understand that? Do you have any idea how much time I've wasted on pictures of your silly stories?
You are like the businesswoman.
The businesswoman?
She has never looked at a star, she has never smelled a flower, and she has never loved anyone. And all day she says over and over, just like you, I'm busy with important things, I'm busy with important things. But she is not a woman. She's a mushroom. The flowers have been growing thorns for millions of years, and it's not important to try to understand why the flowers go to so much trouble to grow thorns which have no use to them at all.
Little man, please.
And I know. I myself know one flower which is unique in all the world, but which one sheep can destroy in a single bite, one morning without even noticing what he's doing. You think that's not important?
You're 10. How long did it take you to memorize this play?
I was actually the last person to memorize it all.
Well, she has more than anybody. She's a very hard worker. Her work ethic is amazing for a 10-year-old. She's always focused on stage. Yep.
Yeah, well, she's pretty focused right now. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other characters in the play, Trinity, that you have to interact with besides the aviator?
Well, I've got very many people that I have to interact with. I have the rose, of course, and also I have the snake, the fox, the geographer, all the people on all their planets.
So all these characters, including the rose, are played by people?
Yeah, they're all played by people, and then we also have a very good, and they've been working really hard, the ensemble group, and they get to do very many things, but even though they have no lines, I still get to interact with them a lot.
This is a group of children, 6 children that have different jobs on stage.
So what is the size of this cast altogether? And is it just these two with the speaking roles and everybody else is?
No, there's lots of other speaking roles. There's 17 altogether.
But some don't have speaking lines.
The ensemble has a few lines, but they speak them all at the same time.
Oh, okay.
It's like a chorus.
So the ensemble is this group that plays these different visual characters and...
No, the ensemble is a group of 6 kids that do different things on stage. They carry her around, they present...
Oh, I see. Okay.
They carry me around like stars. There are a wall of roses that talk to me, which make me remember my roads, and I kind of get more sad about that. And also, two of the older ones get to play trees, and also...
They form a well.
Yep. They play our... Well,
so they represent objects as well, but all the other characters on the planets, and the snake and the fox and the
desert
king
flower
and the conceited man,
they're all people.
Yeah,
and they all have lines.
Uh-huh. And Eric, your role of the aviator is also obviously serving as the narrator of the story.
Yeah, I think during that first bit that we did, I turned at one point to the audience and said. Well, and even when I am talking at the last one, where I say, understandably, I was upset. So that was a bit of a challenge. It still is a bit of a challenge. There are probably 7 or 8 times, and then the opening monologue and then the closing epilogue where I talk directly to the audience. Kind of have to flatten things out a little bit from the ebbs and flows of my emotional aviator life.
And how old is this prince presumed to be?
Ageless.
Ageless. But we'll say, for the purposes of argument, about 10 right now.
That sounds good.
So, well, let's have the third of our scenes, the third and final of our scenes from Parkland Theater's production of The Little Prince at Parkland College in Champaign, here on Live and Local. What have we got?
So what are you doing? Why are you talking to the snake?
I'm glad your friend's better. Now you can go back home.
How do you know about that?
I, too, am going back home. It's much farther, much more difficult.
Little man, you're afraid.
I shall be much more afraid soon.
You can't mean this. Tell me this is just all a bad dream. The star, the meeting place, the snake?
The thing that is important is a thing that is invisible. Like a flower on a star.
Yes, I know.
Like a well in the desert.
Yes.
Like a boa constrictor, like an elephant inside a boa constrictor. I knew from the moment I saw you asleep by your machine, looking more like a child than any other grown-up I ever knew. I knew that you could give me what I needed.
What is that? What have I given you?
My sheep, of course. You drew me a sheep in a box. Please don't cry.
One runs the risk of weeping when one allows himself to be tamed. Please don't do this. I want you to stay. I need you to stay. If you're gone, who will laugh for me?
Just because I'm gone doesn't mean I've gone away.
What?
Do you see my star up there?
Which one? There are so many.
Maybe that's just as well. Then all the stars will be your friends.
What do you mean?
Each night, watch the sunset and see the stars come out. And know that I am up there. Living and laughing, then all the stars will laugh for you. Please do not come tonight.
It will look a little as if I were dying. That is not true. It's just that this body is too heavy for me to carry all the way. The snake is just providing me with transportation. And don't be sad. What will be left here will be nothing but an old, empty shell. There's nothing sad about old, empty shells, is there?
I gather this is right towards the end.
Getting there.
Mm-hmm. Getting there. So the actual climax remains a mystery. If you haven't read the book, you have to come see the show. That's the way it always is.
It's amazing.
And it sounds like Our Little Prince is amazing. Trinity Carpenter, all of age 10, is in the title role of Parkland Theater's production of this play. Eric Schacht playing the aviator and a cast of, what did you say, about
17 total. Mm-hmm.
Under the direction of Jennifer Garan, it opens tomorrow at 7:30, continues on the 8th, 9th, 14th, 15th, and 16th at 7:30. And then there are two matinees on the 16th and 17th at 3 o'clock. For information, you can go to theater.parkland.edu and get everything you want to know about how to get tickets, what's a little bit more about what the play is about, pricing, and so on. And thank you all very much for coming in. And Trinity, sounds like you're doing a splendid job. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. And our show today is made possible with support from the Illinois Chamber Orchestra in String Surprises, featuring an evening of Eastern European string music by Janáček, Bartók, and Miaskovsky, Friday, April 8th at St. Agnes Church in Springfield, and Saturday, April 9th at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Information is available at ilsymphony.org. That's the opening movement, or a good chunk of it, of the 25th Symphony by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, which is the opening music on the concert this week called the Rush Hour Concert, Play It Again by Sinfonietta Camera, which is happening on Thursday at, well, logically enough, Rush Hour, 5:30 p.m. at the Krannert Center of the Performing Arts in Urbana, Ian Hobson conducting. Also on that program, Ducasse, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, music by Eric Korngold from the film The Seahawk, music by Gounod as well, and one of the Hungarian Rhapsodies by Franz Liszt. For more information, go to Sinfonia, S-I-N-F-O-N-I-A dot U-I-U-C dot E-D-U. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and for the rest of the show, I'm just going to mention some other concerts that are going on in our area and sample a little music to give you an idea of what they might be like, including the University of Illinois Black Chorus Concert, the annual Moms Day Concert, which is on Saturday at the Krannert Center at 7:30 in the evening. Ollie Watts Davis is their conductor, and this is the opening song from their CD called Have Thine Own Way, Lord, with the Black Chorus. This is called Search Me, O God.
Oh!
University of Illinois Black Chorus under the direction of Dr. Ollie Watts Davis. Search Me, O God, from their disc called Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and they're going to give their annual Moms Day concert at the Krannert Center in Urbana on Moms Day weekend at the University of Illinois at 7:30 on Saturday. And other concerts that are happening on campus include the annual Moms Day concert by the University of Illinois Women's Glee Club, which is happening at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And the Boneyard Arts Festival, of course, is going on all weekend as well, various places throughout town. I believe that Saturday, I didn't pull this up here, I should have, sorry. The Saturday, I know, is the Urbana Day. And one of the days is campus, one is Champaign, and one is elsewhere in Champaign County. So it runs Thursday through Sunday. And you'll want to go to 40north.org and get the full scoop on what's happening when. There's a lot of things going on at the Krannert Center having to do with the Boneyard Arts Festival. And they're also advertising many of the other events that are not happening on their own premises. You can go to their website as well, krannertcenter.com. The Illinois Symphony Orchestra string section is playing concerts this weekend at in Springfield and Bloomington. The Springfield concert is happening on Friday night at 7:30 at St. Agnes Church. The Bloomington concert is at Saturday at 7:30 at Second Presbyterian Church. And among the pieces is one by Leos Janáček, Czech composer. A beautiful piece by him called An Idyll or Idyll for Strings. And this is the opening movement. Performance by the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Gerard Schwartz, the string sections of that orchestra, string section of that orchestra, in the opening movement from the Idyll for Strings by Leos Janáček. You can hear that complete work performed twice this weekend by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra strings on Friday and Saturday in Bloomington and Springfield. And for more information, you can go to ilsymphony.org. Here are some of the other events happening in our listening area. Pianist Leif Ove Andsnes is at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. Sarah Bareilles is performing at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur tonight at 8 o'clock. The Lara Driscoll Trio plays jazz at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. The University of Illinois Theater Department presents Miss Alliance Wednesday through Saturday at 7:30 at the Krannert Center. And the Woody Woodward Organ Trio is at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. It's the St. Thomas More High School Spring Musical, The Pirates of Penzance, Wednesday through Saturday with 7 o'clock performances. And I mentioned earlier the Boneyard Arts Festival starts on Thursday, and I did look up what I should have looked up earlier, which is that Thursday is Education Day with lots of events happening in and around the University of Illinois campus primarily. Friday is downtown Champaign events, Saturday is downtown Urbana, and Sunday is out and about Champaign County, as they say. Also at the Krannert Center on Wednesday, tomorrow is the Septeto Nacional Ignacio Pinheiro de Cuba, which is a Latin jazz septet, and they are going to be on our show live tomorrow for the hour. That should be really spectacular. That's on Live and Local tomorrow from 12 to 1. Hope you'll be able to join us for that. And what else have I got in the calendar here? Looking ahead also to Thursday, Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield continues its performances of Run for Your Wife. That's Thursday through Saturday, 8 o'clock, with a Sunday matinee performance. And the Eastern Illinois University Percussion Ensemble concert is at the Dvorak Concert Hall at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston Thursday evening at 7:30. And Edison Middle School Jazz Ensemble plays for Krannert Uncorked Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. And it's Bossa Nuevo at Panera Bread and Champagne Thursday at 4. Support for our show comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the series Collector to the First Time Buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville.